Good morning. 20 minutes. When does the clock start ticking, Paul? Now? Okay, right. Right. I have to say that I'm really seriously thinking of changing my name to Zinzendorf. It's just got such an amazing ring to it, hasn't it? Bob. Maybe I should change Bob as well. I don't know. Bob Zinzendorf, doesn't it? I don't know. Quite matches up. I have to say I've got very many happy memories as a child of the month of December and the build-up to Christmas and the way in which during this month the appearance of our home would change as the decorations were put up. There was a particular kind of picture of Father Christmas, a kind of rather tatty old picture that I particularly loved as a child. And it used to go up in the hallway and we would make paper chains. We would make them, sometimes we'd buy those little strips where you kind of, you know, lick them and make them yourself. Sometimes we'd make them out of wallpaper, old strips of wallpaper. This is going to sound a bit like the kind of we lived in a cardboard box in the middle of the road, isn't it, if I'm not not careful. But, yeah, we used to make paper chains out of cutting up strips of wallpaper and adorn the front room and the living room with them. The Christmas tree would come out, the kind of tinsel Christmas tree, and would be decorated. The Christmas cards would start to arrive and would be put up on the mantelpiece and on the sideboard, and then they'd start to put them on string around the wall. So the house would begin to look very, very different during the month of December. And new smells would begin to fill the house during this month as well, as my dear mum began to do the pre-Christmas cooking. The pudding, the Christmas cake with the same decorations on it year after year, the snowman, the Father Christmas in his sleigh, and the reindeer. And as the day approached, the smell of cooking of mince pies and sausage rolls would fill the house. The fruit bowl would suddenly, this was the days before kind of you could have any sort of fruit you liked all through the year, the fruit bowl would suddenly be full of tangerines, so much nicer than oranges, sweeter and easier to peel. And Brussels sprouts would appear in the vegetable rack. My parents didn't drink alcohol, so the kind of the tipple for Christmas was this drink called, I think it was called raisin wine or raisin cordial. You didn't dilute it, you drank it neat. And there was a kind of ginger version as well, so you had the kind of the choice either between the sweetness of this raisin wine or the kick of the ginger. And that was our kind of the real sort of drink treat for Christmas. But the one thing that the month of December always started with was one of these. And I'm not sure if you can see the little numbers on it, but of course it's not just a nice picture of the nativity scene. It is an Advent calendar. And obviously it's got all these sort of doors in it, these little sort of things, numbers 1 to 24, that day by day through the month of December, we would take it in turns, us four children, my brother, two sisters, to open a door each day to see what was behind it. Of course, these days, these things often have chocolate in them and all sorts of things like that. Well, in my day, there was no chocolate in the Advent calendar. Oh, but it was fun nevertheless. So when the Advent calendar came out, Christmas was definitely on the way. The countdown had begun. Now, there's nothing that raises expectations like a countdown, is there? Whether it's counting the days or counting the seconds, sort of 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, you know, and get to 1, something amazing happens. Always really disappointing if nothing happens when you get to 1, a sense of letdown and disappointment. But Advent is about this amazing event that we celebrate year on year. As Joe said, this idea of the coming, not just the arrival of an anybody, but the arrival of a notable person. Advent is about expectation and anticipation. The expectation of this arrival and the anticipation that this arrival will come, will bring with it something wonderful, something good, something precious. I guess for children these days, the expectation is of the arrival of dear Father Christmas, and the anticipation is of the gifts that he will bring. But in reality, of course, we celebrate something so much more profound and far-reaching than that. And of course, the countdown to that first Christmas didn't begin 25 days before the event on the 1st of December. In fact, I don't think December even appeared in the Jewish calendar 2,000 or so years ago. No, the countdown to this event began many, many hundreds, even thousands of years before that. The countdown began in a garden where the first man and the first woman had succumbed to the temptation by the serpent to do the one thing God had commanded that they should not do. They had eaten the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and in so doing, they had broken this wonderful, intimate friendship, this relationship with the Creator God. And when God turns up and finds the man and the woman and the serpent skulking in the garden, he makes clear the awful, eternal consequences of their actions. And he has words to say to each one of them that we find in those opening chapters of Genesis. He speaks first to the serpent, pronouncing a curse on this creature that is actually the personification of the deceiver, the accuser, the liar, and the thief, Satan himself. And God finishes his curse with these words from Genesis 3 and verse 15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And so begins Advent. The countdown has begun. In this brief sentence, God declares that a time would come when the plans, purpose, and power of the serpent, the devil, would be destroyed by a man, the offspring of the woman, whilst this man himself would be wounded in the process. As we continue through the Old Testament, we see God's plan emerging, this countdown continuing. Abraham is promised in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, through Abraham. And Abraham's offspring become a mighty nation in the generations that follow, set apart by God, a people called to be different, to live differently, a people through whom the serpent crusher would come, the one they would call Messiah. And then many generations later, God makes yet another promise, this time to King David, the king of Israel. And we read this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. "Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is no kind of light or whimsical promise. This is a promise that has no conditions attached to it. This is a promise that uses the language of eternity, that forever word. And so this Advent, this promise of one to come, this notable arrival, this expectation and anticipation, having been announced in that garden, in that place of fallenness and despair and loss, having touched the life of Abraham, having taken a hold of the nation of Israel, now lands upon the family of David, king of Israel. But after David's death, the fortunes of Israel take a dark turn over the generations that follow, resulting in this kingdom that God has chosen, this kingdom through whom this Advent event is, it seems, destined to come. This kingdom of Israel and Judah is crushed, first by the Assyrians, the Assyrian army, and then by the Babylonians. It's not looking good. It's not looking good for this Advent. It's not looking good for this promise that God has made. Jerusalem is lost. Its walls broken down. Its gates burned. The temple is destroyed. And the people of Israel, the people of Jerusalem, are spread throughout the lands of this conquering nation. What then of this Advent? What then of expectation and anticipation? But in the midst of this desperate tale of loss and destruction, before this terrible fall of Jerusalem and the loss of the temple, God had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. These are the words that Paul shared with us last week from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Beautiful, beautiful words of promise. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And it finishes with these amazing words, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Israel and Judah, the chosen people of God, may have gone astray. They might be destined for exile and slavery far, far from their promised land. But this would not stop Advent. This would not stop the coming of the King. The thing that strikes me about this passage is that Advent was not realized, was not fulfilled by a mighty man or woman of God. Sure, God used men and women who were obedient and humble and hungry to do his will. But this was not a human-driven enterprise, relying on human ability, giftedness, tenacity or courage. It was an enterprise accomplished by the zeal of the Lord Almighty. And I believe God does not change, that God today is as zealous as he ever was, as he saw through this Advent. He is zealous for hearts and minds, for souls. He's zealous for our strength. He's zealous for us. He's zealous for our freedom from sin and the curse of sin. He is zealous that we might fulfill, each one of us, the purpose and plan that he had in his mind, in his heart, for each one of us when he made us. Just as he was zealous for the Advent we celebrate today, the coming of the Son of God into the world to give his life as a ransom for many, to suffer and to die for each one of us for the forgiveness of our sins, to rise again and prove that death had indeed been conquered. So I believe he is zealous for an Advent for each and every one of us today. Expectation and anticipation of the presence and power and comfort and strength of Jesus present in my life and your life, here today, making a difference in our lives, making us different as we do life. If ever you've come to question or wonder at God's commitment to you, I would encourage you to read again and meditate again on the gospel accounts of the suffering and crucifixion of Jesus. He didn't have to go through that. He wasn't actually a victim of injustice. He offered himself to that death and that suffering, taking your place and my place, and receiving the full measure of the wrath of God that was due to us, so that we might receive instead the full measure of the mercy and grace of God. He did that for you. He did that for me because of his zeal for us, because he loves us so, so very, very much. Paul talked last week about Jesus as the Prince of Peace, and I believe he is zealous that we should know his peace. It matters to him. It really matters to him. I don't know about you, but I find the prospect of a zealous God both comforting, that he is for me and that he loves me, but also somewhat unnerving and sobering as well. Zeal is a powerful emotion. It is a passionate thing. But then in the heart of an all-powerful, mighty God, then zeal takes on a whole new dimension of passion and power. When God gave the Ten Commandments, he started with Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 and 3. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I guess he could say to us today, I am the Lord your God, who went to the cross, who suffered and died for you, that you might receive forgiveness for your sins, that you might receive new life and freedom from sin, deliverance from death, and live a new life and live eternally for me. But he continues in that passage in Exodus, the reason that you shall have no other gods before me is because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And those words jealous and zealous, apart from conveniently rhyming in the English language, actually come from the same Hebrew root. Both are powerful, emotive words. So what is my response to a zealous, jealous God? I do believe that as we understand more of the character and nature of the God we serve, including his zeal, it becomes for us indeed a source of great hope. Advent was started in that garden thousands of years before the birth of Jesus. The countdown began. And Advent came to fruition in the birth of the Son of God, in spite of the failures and faults and weaknesses of those God used along the way as his agents. God still delivered on his promise. But God's plans are not yet complete. He has plans still, plans that will not be thwarted by our weakness or foolishness. Praise God. His plan now is to prepare a bride for his son. This bride is the church, us. But the responsibility for the preparation of the bride, for the building up of the bride, for the beautification of the bride, that responsibility is with the Holy Spirit. I believe the Father is zealous to provide this wonderful bride for his son. I believe too that the Holy Spirit is equally zealous in his work of preparation and beautification. So what is our part in this? Broken, flawed, foolish people, I believe our part is to offer ourselves and to offer ourselves and to offer ourselves day by day, week by week, to seek him, the bridegroom, to love him, heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to yield day by day, week by week, to this incredible work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church, to become, to receive this life-transforming power, this bride-preparing work. And it's our calling to do then the things that he calls us to do. And so to become more the people he is calling us to be, more beautiful, more fruitful. But this is his work, not mine. I can take no credit for this work he does within me. I can only offer myself and offer myself and offer myself. Seek him, love him, and be known by him. I don't know about you, but I do want to catch something more of God's zeal. Something more of the Holy Spirit's zeal for the bride. Something more of his zeal to see lost people saved. To see broken people made whole. To see love, passion, and the zeal of Jesus expressed through us, his church, his body. But I want this zeal to be absolutely aligned with his zeal. I don't want to be zealous for side issues, for things that don't matter to him. Zeal based on these things becomes divisive, damaging, deadly. The truth is that we are the focus of God's zeal. It was for the joy set before him that Jesus endured the cross. We are the fruit of what Jesus endured. Those who've received this amazing gift of salvation. We are the joy set before him. So I want him to be the source of my zeal, my love for him, my love for his church, his bride, my love for the lost, for those that are not yet part of this wonderful thing, this wonderful bride. In Paul's letter to the church at Rome, he gave some wonderful practical advice to the Christians there about how they should live advice that is full of zeal and passion, a blueprint for a zealous life. And we find this in Romans 12 and verses 9 to 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. As we draw to a close this morning and as we approach this season of Christmas, let us do so seeking with greater zeal than ever before to make this time that truly celebrates this season as Jesus would have wanted us to celebrate it. Let us seek to continue to grow in the zeal of the Lord. I want more of this zeal. And I want to be zealous for what matters to him, not those little things that sometimes matter too much to me. We sang earlier, light a fire in us. And I guess that's my prayer this morning. God, Lord Jesus, would you light a fire in me, a fire of pure zeal. Not something false, not something fleshy, not something that is of me, but something that is of the Holy Spirit working within. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your zeal. Thank you for your passion for your project. Thank you for your love of the bride, your desire to make a beautiful bride, a perfect bride for Jesus. And we want to be part of this bride, oh God. Oh Lord, we want to be part of this wonderful body that so loves the Son, that so loves Jesus, that will do anything for him. Holy Spirit, would you plant this zeal in our hearts? I confess to you that my heart is not zealous as it should be. And I want to pray for more of this precious zeal. We want to pray for this precious fire that we talked about earlier, this fire in our hearts. We confess this need to you and invite you to come, Holy Spirit, even this morning, and touch our hearts and stir again within us zeal for your kingdom, zeal for you, zeal for all that matters to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus.
Just wanted to add a little bit that Bob and I were praying this morning, and I was reminded of the burning bush that Moses saw. Excuse me. And I just felt that's what I want, really. I want to have this burning that consumes but doesn't destroy. That's the sort of fire God wants to plant in us, to put in our hearts, in our lives. But I felt this morning that I thought it was beautiful seeing all the little children with the candles and the Christingle this morning, but it just struck me that the default is darkness. In this world, in this city, in our lives, in our families, where we work, where we're at school or college, it's really hard. There's a lot of darkness. And I just felt the Lord say this morning that he wants to reignite for some people, or perhaps for some people that for the first time light that flame. And some of us have gone through struggles and things have been difficult and hard, and that flame's kind of gutted out, and maybe it's just burning really low in our lives. But I just felt, you know, this morning to encourage you that, you know, God wants to reignite, relight, and reset that burning for us and in us. And if you feel like that this morning, find somebody you know and trust, or ask somebody, one of the leaders from the church, to pray for you, because it's really important that we respond to what God says to us. And you know, I think there's at least one person here that's never felt that flame. They don't know that joy, that light, that fire in their spirits. And do pray before you go. Don't let today go by without receiving that fire of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just listen to the Holy Spirit now. Let's just spend a few moments just quietening our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that this is your work, that this isn't a human kind of generated thing. This is you. This is your project. We just want to humbly bow before you. We want to ask you to come. Do your work in us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Stir afresh, we pray. Stir this zeal. Let it be real, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe sitting near a heater. There you are, Pat. Friendly and sitting by a heater. Well, is the Christmas spirit beginning to creep up on you? Yes. I can see by that despairing look. We're going to have a great morning. Joe.
Brilliant. Just to quickly kick things off, this is the point of the year or the point of the month where it starts to dawn on you that Christmas is coming, a bit like hide and seek, whether you're ready or not. It just comes. They don't move it. So it is coming. And last Sunday night, we went to the Hickman's house for a fantastic evening there. And Christmas had arrived at their house. It was still November, and they had a Christmas tree. They had incredible homemade mince pies and stuff. They had the most amazing apple drink that we drank. And Christmas had come. The next night, which was Monday night, Paul came to our house, and he said to us halfway through the evening, "Where is Christmas?" Because there was no Christmas yet at our house, apart from we were able to show him something. We were able to show him this, which is an advent calendar, but it's an advent calendar with a difference, because it's for the cat. And my son complains that we don't love our cat enough. So this was £2 in Sainsbury's, so I generously have bought it for the cat. And the cat isn't able to really understand advent, nor able to open the doors, but we are helping her. And we're opening these each day for her. And she doesn't really like the chocolates, actually. But, you know, she eats a little bit. And we're very excited about it. But that's it. So that's all that had happened in our house by Monday night. The kids today, who's got an advent calendar? Have some of you guys got advent calendars? Some of the adults have. Interesting. Some of the children have. Nowadays, incredibly, a bit like the cat's chocolates here, the advent calendars have chocolates in. But I told the children a few years back that when we were little, we had advent calendars. This was a long way back. This was the 1960s, okay? And we didn't have chocolates in our advent calendars. Incredible. And one of the children said to me, "Then why did you open the doors?" And for a split second, I thought, yeah, why did we open the doors? And then I remembered we were actually counting down the days in a very genuine way towards Christmas. No chocolates for us, just little doors to open. So we're going to make this morning a really unashamedly Advent morning, all about the coming of Christmas. We've got the Christingle oranges, which we're going to be part of this, which we're going to make. And we're going to share a little bit about why we're doing that and why we're making those. And we're going to sing one or two of the Christmas type songs, known as carols. I looked up online what the definition of Advent is, and it says the arrival of a notable person in brackets or thing. So the arrival of a notable person, and this notable person, who is Jesus, wants to visit our hearts and our lives and come in a greater way. So I have one prayer, which I'm going to pray in a moment, and this is my burning prayer for this December and for this Christmas, that God would come in a new way to our hearts and show us what Christmas means. Show us about the astonishing things that happened 2,000 years ago that we are celebrating. So that's my prayer. So I'm just going to pray that prayer. And then we're going to show a little clip that I've got called He Came, and it's about the coming of Jesus. Tiny little video that we're going to show up in here, and then Nick's going to start us off with our first song. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are this notable person whose coming we celebrate. And Father, we want you to come in a new way to our hearts. And we pray, Father, in this next few weeks, as we go carol singing, as we have the carol service, as we practice in the choir, and as we have this meeting this morning, that in a new way we would understand the utter wonder of what happened, this incredible thing that you came down among us into our darkness and our muddle, and you came to bring us light, and your name is Emmanuel. And we pray that in a new way we'd know that this Christmas. We pray it for the children, we pray it for ourselves. Father, we're asking you to do this. Amen. Amen. It's light in our hearts. We're just going to quickly show you, tell you just a little bit about this Christingle service. So all across the world, actually, and increasingly so, these services are held in December for children. And in this country now, they're doing huge services in places like Westminster Abbey and in the cathedrals across this country, where literally thousands of children are going to these special services and to hear this message of Jesus. So the little tiny bit of history, and then Amy here is going to come up. We've got a blue pizza table here, and we have got one that we made earlier, but we are going to try and demonstrate how to make one of these little Christingle oranges, okay? So this idea of this word Christingle began with this man. We're going to need to turn down the lights again, I think. Oh, great picture. He's a good guy, this guy. He lived nearly 300 years ago. And as you can see, he's very well dressed. And he was a nobleman from Germany, from what was then Saxony. And his name was Count Zinzendorf. He was a count. And this guy, very wealthy guy with huge lands in Saxony, when he was 6 years old, he heard the message of Jesus. And he decided, he was just six, okay, so this was an initial decision. He decided that whatever he did with the rest of his life, he would give his life to Jesus. And so at that early age, that's what he planned and that's what he decided. And if you show the next picture, in his meetings and in the prayer meetings they held, that's a picture of a sort of Thanksgiving service. And if you look at it closely, you can see that there are children there and that they're praying, some of them. And there's even a little baby in its crib. And Zinzendorf really believed that the message of Christianity was for young children and for everybody to hear. And so in their meetings, they so often had children there, and the meetings were for the children. And this guy... if you show the next picture, this is a very old, this is an old picture. And do you know, it's a picture of a prayer meeting that was held on Count Zinzendorf's land. He had a group of people who came to him who'd been persecuted, who came from Moravia, further out east into Europe. And they said, we've got nowhere to go. We need protection. Many of them had been killed for what they believed in. And he said, you can come. Incredible. This guy with all his land said, you can come and live on my land. And these Christians came and they began to pray that God would move in their hearts and move among them. And this is one of their prayer meetings. And they had an incredible prayer meeting in something like 1727 when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And do you see, they drew a picture. They tried to express what had happened. And there's a picture of heaven. And do you see, there's a lamb at the top. And do you see the people there bowing down? That higher level is them imagining heaven and the Holy Spirit being poured out onto them. And they came out of these meetings transformed people, filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went out, if we look at the next picture, and they began to preach. They went out all over the world as they knew it then, as they were able to reach it. This is them preaching and speaking to Native Americans out in America, in North America. They also went to Europe and deeply affected this country through their meetings with the two Wesley brothers. And this is them. Do you see the man with his hands raised? He's the preacher. And do you see the guy sitting just beside, below him, and he's got his hand on his head because he's thinking so deeply about what's being said and what they preached. And so the origins of all this Christingle thing came from this group of people. And if we put up the next picture, hey, it's a picture of a Christingle. I know that's a very spectacular one. I'm convinced that they've used a very little orange because the sweets look very big. The sweets on ours don't look quite so big. But that's what children are going to make, and that's what Amy's going to explain to us in a moment. And then we've got another picture. Yeah, so that's one of the services that I think was held in one of the cathedrals. So one of the children here told me, I think, that they're going to a service in Westminster Abbey. Is that right? Ah, to a Christingle service. Wow, I would love to do that. So over this month, some on Christmas Eve, some in Advent, there's going to be children making these little oranges. And Amy's going to explain to us in a moment what they are. I think I have one more picture. Yes, I do. There he is. Okay, now that's not Zinzendorf. That's one of his men, okay? This is one of the Moravians who came to his land. He's called, I can't say this very well because I can't speak German, but he's Bishop John Waterville. And he, Waterville probably said like that. And he won Christmas in 1747, December the 20th. They were having a special children's service and he got an orange and he got a candle and put it in it. And he said, he asked the children to come to the front. He said, we're going to pray that what God has done in our hearts, he would do in the children's hearts, and that the children and young people would carry this flame and this fire in their hearts. So he was the man who began Christingle. He is Mr. Christingle, okay? He started all of this in 1747, which I worked out was 269 years ago. This has been celebrated all across Europe and now across the world. So he prayed a prayer on that day. I think that's the final picture. There, what a great prayer. He prayed, Lord Jesus, these are his actual words, except in German, kindle a flame in these dear children's hearts. And that's what we're praying, that God would do in a greater way for all of us, for the children, the young people, even this morning when we come and sing, that God would do this. So that is the origins of Christingle. So now we need the lights on again, and Amy's going to come up and sort of explain the bits of it. Brilliant.
Yeah, we'll need to bring it forward. Each part of the Christingle and what it represents. So I'm going to need your assistance for me, Edward. So could you hold that up nice and high? So, can everyone hear me? Yeah. So the orange, and this signifies the entire world, God's world. And around the orange, we put the red ribbon, if I can find the end. This is the blue Peter part. So could you put that round for me? There we go. Fantastic. And we can snip that. Can you hold that up nice and high for me, Edward? So the red ribbon. So this is the love and the blood of Christ. And we must remember what Jesus did for us by dying for the sins of the entire world. So the next part, we're just going to make one of these. We're just going to put some sweets on the stick. Did you want to do that, Edward? Have a go. Push them up nice and even. That's it. Want to pop that in? So, do you want to hold that? You actually have four either side, but we're just going to do one. So these represent the fruits of God's creation. So the amazing things that God gives us on this earth. So can any of the children name some of those things, that some of these amazing things that God has given us? Anyone? Yeah, go on.
Boys.
You could say that. Or things like shelter and water and each other. And, you know, nature and animals and all amazing things like that. So also the four sweets also represent north, south, east and west, and the four seasons to represent that God covers everything and reaches all the world and everyone and really loves everyone. So now, one we've prepared earlier. Do you want to pop that in the middle for me, Edward? So this represents Jesus is the light of the world and shines into the darkness, as Matthew prayed earlier. And as Joe said earlier, we really just want to pray that God really touches the children's hearts, and that you know, to light up our hearts in a new way today. And just reminding us of the verse that we mentioned earlier as well, in terms of, you know, to really touch these children's hearts today. Thank you very much, Edward. So now that I think the children are going to go to the back.
Amy, very impressive. We've never done that before. There you go. We're going to go across to the table. So if you're in flame and if you're in tribe and some of the sunbeams, and we need some adults if you want to come, particularly we need adults with any sunbeams, and we're going to make them quickly. They're only going to take us about 5 minutes, and Leonie is just going to bravely, while the children are making them, just share a little thought with us. So if you're in tribe or flame, do you want to go over to where Amy is? If you want to, tribe, you're welcome to if you want. Brilliant.
Right, I will try to speak a bit loudly. So, Joe just asked me to share some kind of reflections of what I feel Christmas is about. and something perhaps a little bit personal. So I'm going to share something a little bit about what I feel Christmas is about. So just kind of looking back over the many years I've been alive, I feel that Christmas is a time of giving. When I think of Christmas, I think about gifts. As a child, I really enjoyed shopping for gifts for family and friends. But truth be told, I was particularly fond of receiving gifts, and especially from Father Christmas. And forgetting about the mischief of the previous 11 months, on the first day of Advent, I'll try my best to be good, just to ensure that Father Christmas came to visit with the long list of suggestions I had posted to him. I remember flicking through the Argos catalogue. That's what I did, because we didn't have Wi-Fi when I was a child and iPads. But yeah. And I remember flicking through the Argos catalogue and writing very descriptively the name and catalogue number of each item I wanted. And of course, in my best handwriting, because according to my mum, who is a school teacher, Father Christmas is conscientious and is a stickler for neat handwriting. So... essentially, I understood that in order to receive all the gifts I had carefully chosen, I needed to be good on the good list rather than the naughty list. But I started to realise that no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't be consistently good for a week or even a day, let alone from the 1st of December to the night of the 24th of December. It appeared that my every good deed was followed or preceded a naughty one, and even the naughty ones that no one actually knew about. But I knew that Father Christmas saw everything, and that often made me wonder whether I'll actually even receive any presents, and that whether I'd been actually good enough to actually receive everything that I'd requested. But as I grew up and my faith developed, I've come to appreciate and desire gifts that are of a non-monetary value. And that's not only because I started to understand the concept of earning my own money and having to obviously give gifts to other people, but also because I realised that I struggled to remember what gifts I actually wanted and received the previous year and how I could actually even use them. As such, I started to desire gifts that can be used for more than one time on Boxing Day. It did not collect dust or get broken or, dare I say, kind of recycled to another home. So I started to desire gifts that were designed to last, that don't have an expiry date and are adaptable in different circumstances. And these kind of gifts include things like wisdom and knowledge and faith to kind of help me on my journey, and also to help me with the difficulties that I face daily, and also to help and encourage other people around me. In Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21, we are reminded, "Do not store up for yourselves material treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centres, will also be." This understanding has helped me become acquainted with the ultimate gift giver. A gift giver who doesn't require me to be good so that I can receive gifts. In fact, because this gift giver knows me so well, he counted on the fact that I'm not so good to give me this gift. And the gift that I'm talking about is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, who made a way so that we can all experience eternal life. And what price can actually be paid to receive that? In 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19, it says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So when I think of Christmas, I think of a particular gift now. I think how the ultimate gift giver provided us and gave us his son in human form, even though I am so undeserving of it. I think of a baby born in a humble abode and saved me from my sins. And based on Matthew 6, I feel like I'm consistently reminded that Jesus is saying to me that first seek me and my kingdom, and all the things I know that you need, you worry about, will be given to you. This is because your good, good, gracious Father knows all that you need before you ask for it. Amen.
Thank you, Leonie. Are they ready, Joe? Okay, I wonder whether we could, while the children are just adding the final touches, I had a thought. I saw Angelina sitting over there, and I thought how nice it would be actually to have Count von Zinzendorf. I have to say he was Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf, to actually pray that prayer that God would set a fire in the hearts of the children in German. Could you come? That would be lovely. And then we'll crack on with the plan. Fantastic. So let's just pray, shall we? Can you pray in English and in German? One after the other. And if there's German speakers here, then they'll tell us if you get it wrong. Quick reminder.
Lord Jesus, kindle a flame in these dear children's hearts. Herr Jesus, bitte entzünde eine Flamme in den Herzen dieser Kinder. Amen.
Wow, that was beautiful. That's what he would have said. That's what he would have said. The children have made the oranges, I think. Yeah, some of them are magnificent. Some of them have got a lot of sweets on. James Crawley's done one. I did point out that he wasn't sharp, but he did it as an example, apparently, to encourage the children. But actually, secretly, he wanted one. We knew this. We're going to light them in a moment. We need to just move this table back, if you mind. If you've made one, if you've made a Christingle, do you want to bring them up now? Peter is going to come in a moment and just share. But if you want to come up, bring them up. And we're going to stand in a row, maybe at the front here. We need some. Yeah, but we're not going to light them yet. We need, if your child is primary age, we need you to come and stand behind them. And guys, if you move them or mess about, we'll have to take them away because this is real flames and real fire. So if your child is primary age, we need you to come and stand behind them. Collect you guys. Can you spread out down there a bit? Let's spread out a little bit. And you need to just hold them out a little bit and not too near your hair or anything. Not too far out, but we're just aware there are health and safety issues here. Peter is just going to share about the song we're going to sing in a moment, and some of the children are going to pray, okay? And then when we've done that, we're going to light them and we're going to sing this wonderful song, okay?
So the next song we're going to sing is Set a Fire. This song's not really a worship song, it's more, I like to think of it as more of a prayer, you know, because as Nick said before, God comes to where there's desire, and some of the lyrics is, I want more of you, and I think that we should just focus on that, just invite him into our hearts, invite him into our lives, and yeah, if any of the children like to pray.
We asked a few if you'd come and pray. Let me come around with the microphone. The children are just going to, some of them are going to pray, and some of the young people, and Peter's going to finish, yeah? Matthew is going to start. Is Matthew playing? Where is he? Matthew, you're going to start. And then Joel's going to pray, and Jonathan's going to pray, and Aseli and Eliza are going to pray, and then Peter's going to finish. I think that's, I've included everybody. Brilliant.
No, we just thank you so much that we should start everything in prayer, and that you want to be involved in everything. You don't want us to try and tackle things by ourselves, but you want to be involved in everything. And thank you that you even came and got stuck and involved with us on earth. And we just thank you so much. You want to be involved in our lives. And please this Christmas, help us to really pray out more, Father, cry out to you more, welcome you in more, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you're the light of the world and that you died for us. And that you're with us like all through every year, every day. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Lord, thank you for the world that you've made for us to live in.
Thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world, and from the darkness you led us into the light. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be like you, Lord, to help those people that are still in darkness, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you light a fire in our hearts, Lord, and we will feel the Holy Spirit within us, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this service. I pray that as Christmas approaches, we can enjoy all the festivities attached with Christmas, but we can stay focused on you, Lord. We can stay focused on why we celebrate Christmas. I thank you for the love we share in this church. I thank you for how contagious it is. I thank you for all these children standing in front of me. I pray that as these candles are about to light, you can do the same in their hearts, and they can share this among their friends, among their peers. I pray that they can be what they want to be, and that they can stand secure in you, Lord, and they always have a safe haven to be, Lord, and you're their light shining in the darkness. Amen.
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 Fantastic. We're going to.
It's fantastic to be together this morning. It's lovely, lovely, crisp, crisp winter day. Bit of sunshine. Lovely to be here today. Today's a great day for many reasons. Very close to Christmas. I'm getting very excited now. Not so long. But also it's a special day because we're celebrating with Mercy that she has incredibly and amazingly reached the wonderful age of 50. Whoa! Oh, oh! Incredible, incredible. Mercy, where are you? Where is she gone? Is she hiding? Come on down, Mercy, come on down. Let's give her a big warm round. Here she is. Mercy, we want to know what are the secrets? What are the secrets of looking so youthful?
Having a wonderful husband.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Does everything.
Fantastic. We just can't believe it. When I got to 50, people said, "Yeah, we can believe it," but not with you. I've heard people on the way in say maybe 30, 35 at the most. 50, we just don't, but there you go. What a wonderful family. Let's sing happy birthday. Let's sing a big happy birthday. Can the family come down to the front as well? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mercy. Happy birthday to you. Wow, wow, look at this lovely cake. That's a fantastic, isn't it? Fantastic. Do you know how to blow them out? Amazing, amazing. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? That's incredible. We thought health and safety wouldn't let us have 50 candles on there. So they're representative, if you don't mind. We just want to really thank God and bless God for this wonderful family here today. I know a number of us have wanted to bless them and wanted to give a little token. So NK, you can, and Onyeka, you're going to come and bring something down the front. So we've got a little something. There's a little something here. Just a card, number of signs. Wanted to give you a gift just to bless you. And say, Mercy, we really appreciate you very much. Mercy has been in this church for a number of years, and her and her family blessed us all so, so much. Let's give her a big warm thank you, Mercy. Thank you for the for amazing family. I've asked Onyeka just to say a few words of appreciation. There's so many things we could say. Onyeka.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What can you say in 5 seconds? There's so much to say. We are grateful to you, my sister. She has been a life to so many. For me, when I was on the floor, she's always there to pick me up. And she has touched so many lives in this church. And we appreciate you, my dear. It's been such a lovely, lovely. You always remind me that we are in a wonderful family, and we are. I don't know what I would have been doing if I wasn't here and meeting people like her. There's so much to say, but we are just so grateful. The Lord is using her. Even now, you know, in the worship, I mean, 2 Sundays ago, I just could not stop crying because the Lord using her to, in the worship setting, she has touched whether you are a child, adult, she has been just amazing. Thank you so much, and we appreciate you so much. 50, I don't even know how she did it because she does look like she's only 35. Well, less, but we appreciate you, my dear.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. And as a church, we appreciate you so much. And my sister wants to say something.
I just want to say, you're 50, but you don't look a day over 30. And also, just to say, welcome to the club. Sorry, that doesn't mean I'm 50, but welcome.
Excuse you.
Welcome to the club. Happy birthday. We really, really love you, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much for all that you do for us all. We may not be from the same parents, but you're a sister, like a sister to me, and I appreciate you so much.
Okay, David, Mercy puts down her youthful demeanor, her good looks, her calm exterior to you. What have you got to say in your defense?
I'm speechless, really. What have I got to say in my defence? Well, I think Jesus is my role model in the sense that he came to serve. And so Mercy is my wife, and I do my best to support her. So if it means taking the hit in terms of doing things around the house, I do it. Sometimes I might grumble and complain and have a scowl on my face, but I do it. Because she's worth it.
Fantastic, fantastic. We're going to pray a rich blessing on Mercy and on the whole... Elizabeth wants to...
I just want to say thank you and happy birthday from the bottom of my heart. I am still in marriage because of Mercy and because of Jesus, actually, first and foremost. But she's been like a support for me since I've been in this country. I couldn't ask for a better sister-in-law. She's not a sister-in-law, she's a sister to me. She's my mother's first daughter, I would say. Thank you.
Thank you. Fantastic. Let's stretch out a hand of blessing. Let's stretch out a hand of blessing towards Mercy, towards the family, towards everyone here. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, wonderful God. Lord, we thank you so much that you bless us, that you strengthen us, that you work in our lives, you work through our lives. We thank you for each other here today. Thank you that we're part of your family. Thank you that we're not on our own trying to be Christians here in this city, but you have placed us in a church family, your family. And we so appreciate each other. And today we appreciate Mercy and we appreciate her family. And we say thank you so much for her. Thank you all you have done in her, all you have done through her. And it's our heart's desire today that you will pour out such a blessing upon her, such a blessing on this birthday occasion. Lord, would you pour out from heaven your rich reward? Would you protect her? Would you strengthen her? Would you enable her? Lord, we look forward to the next season of her life. And we pray, would you give her decades after decades after decades of fruitful service for you? And we pray, Lord, for health. We pray for strength. We pray, Lord, for all your purposes and the new things that you have for her in this coming season. And so as her church family here, we bless her. We bless her in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give her a warm round. Well done. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Brilliant. Lovely. Now, just a couple of things before the children are going to make a move. We've got we've got Michelle and Raywin are going to come and tell us, they're going to help us with our verse for December. We've been having different verses to learn. Michelle.
Hi there. This one is long. Sorry. I know it's six verses. But if you just want to pick out verse 15, verse 15 is the key one for this particular thing. So you can just pick out 15. But Raywin...
I came home from work on Monday and there was a piece of paper under my door with this all these verses on it with Raywin for Sunday. And I text Michelle and said, you don't mean this Sunday, surely? And she said, I do. So it has taken a lot of hard work for me to learn this, but I'm going to give it a go. Okay. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you obey my commands. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Indeed, I have called you friends. For everything I have learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other.
Fantastic. Well done, Raywin. Powerful. It's powerful, powerful learning the Word of God. Well done. Incredible. It's very busy from now until Christmas. We're building up to the most amazing Christmas celebration, our carol service. I was passing around these leaflets advertising the carol service. It's not next week, it's the week after. So it's not next Sunday, it's the Sunday after. On that day, on the 18th, there isn't a morning meeting. Instead, 4 o'clock, we're going to be here. Three things to bring, all begin with F, the letter F. Please bring a friend, because it's going to be fun. Please bring some finger food to share. Nothing to heat up, nothing hot, just some finger food to share would be lovely. And please bring some funds, because we're raising money for India to help, particularly this year, with the project to do with that Gerald was telling us about, which is the mosquito net project that Gerald is involved with. So three Fs to bring on that day. So that's the 18th. Now, if you want to be in the choir on that day and sing, then we don't need a fantastic voice, you just need a good smile. And so if you'd like to sing, then we've got a rehearsal this Sunday after the meeting and next Sunday after the meeting. Now, if you can make one of those, that would be fantastic. If not, just come and smile, and that'll be fantastic too. This Sunday, because it's ECOS, those people who are helping with ECOS, please go and help with ECOS, and then you can practice next Sunday on the 11th, practice the choir bit, because it's a quite a simple one, it's a lovely one. Barbara's arranged it really nicely, and so that's going to be this Sunday and next Sunday. We're going to have a rehearsal, just a short one, after the meeting for the choir. Nick, come and tell us about ECOS, which is this week.
Hi, yeah, very quickly. I love the message of the angels. They were up in heaven and they were saying, glory to God in heaven, peace on earth, and goodwill to all men. I loved it when we stretched out our hand to mercy. It was a sign of goodwill. If anything Christians should be, they should be people of goodwill, shouldn't they? And we have this opportunity of reaching out and showing goodwill to those that are learning English in London. I know this week that potentially we've got 17 people that have actually said they're coming. Probably two or three of them won't, but I know it's getting difficult at Christmas and we're all getting a bit tired. But if you could come, I'd really appreciate it, and they would as well. All you need to do, and it would be great to have some new people, you need to be able to speak, you need to be able to smile, and you need to be able to drink coffee. You don't have to be a fantastic English speaker, but we meet in one of the school rooms at 1 o'clock, and we just have an hour, and it's a lot of fun. I actually really just love doing this and meeting new people, and they just love coming. Many of them are coming again and again. I know after this ECOS, Bob and Vicky, I think one of the young ladies that's been coming along are going to cook them an Italian meal. So there are benefits. There are benefits, but we want to be a blessing. So please do come along and help with that. Fantastic.
Thank you. Just finally, we've got On Saturday, Camden Council have approached us. Camden Council have asked if we would sing carols. They're having a special Christmas market in Queen's Crescent. So in Queen's Crescent, there's going to be a special Christmas market, and we've been asked if we would sing carols. So if you'd like to come, it's 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock in Queen's Crescent. It'd be great fun. We're going to be singing, we're going to be advertising the carol service, handing out leaflets. If you'd like to talk to people about Jesus, if you evangelistically have that gift and want to get out there, there's opportunity as well. So it's going to be a really good time in Queen's Crescent on Saturday, this Saturday on the 10th. So we're looking forward to that. So now the children, we've got another, Bob's going to bring a message, a 20-minute message to us. In that 20 minutes, the Sunbeams, that's the preschool, are going out, and also Flame are going out, and Tribe are going out. Everyone else stays in. So if children want to make a move now, now's your time. Thank you very much.